Hello, welcome once again to Leto's Law. I'm Steve Leto. We've got a mind bender of a story for you, and this is the kind of thing I will admit that when people say they don't like attorneys in general, this is the kind of story that probably fosters a lot of that feeling. So this was sent to me by a viewer. Thank you very much. If you see interesting stories, especially real crazy, wacky ones involving the law or lawyers or people in Florida, send them my way. I go through them and I simply bring out the best ones here. So this is the headline out of the American Bar Association Journal. So the ABA is narking out another lawyer. And in case you're curious, the ABA, the American Bar Association, it's not required that an attorney be a member of that. And it's a little bit of a misnomer because, you know, Michigan Bar Association is something you must belong to practice law in Michigan. But you don't need to be a member of the ABA to practice law anywhere. It's just simply an organization you can join. It supports lawyers, and they publish this journal called the ABA Journal. So the headline is, lawyer convicted of wife's murder argues that only he can represent her estate in the wrongful death case. Got that? The man is convicted of killing his wife. The estate is going to file a wrongful death case against him. And he says, well, I get to handle that case then because I have that right because I'm the surviving spouse. Yes, only an attorney or a comedian could think this way. A former Atlanta lawyer convicted of felony murder and the fatal shooting of his wife is arguing that only he has the right to represent the estate, and that means a wrongful death suit filed against him by the estate would then be dismissed. Because obviously, if you're representing the case against yourself, the easiest thing to do is say, hey, I just decided to dismiss the case. Oh, it's over. The former lawyer, 77-year-old Claude Tex MacGyver, was represented by lawyer James Scarborough in oral arguments Thursday before the Georgia Court of Appeals. And this is according to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and the Daily Report. MacGyver is a former partner with Fisher and Phillips. Now, the interesting thing here is that, yes, there are lawyers who are making these arguments with a straight face in front of a court of appeals. Now, the reason in front of a court of appeals is that somebody lost at the lower level and decided to take this thing up. I'm going to just guess that MacGyver lost, but I could be wrong. Scarborough argued that the state's wrongful death statute does not take away MacGyver's right to sue as the surviving spouse. So in other words, the dead wife, her estate is an entity, even though she's passed. And MacGyver's going, well, I'm the surviving spouse, so I've got rights here. And, you know, we've all heard the joke that the man kills his parents and then goes before the judge and after being convicted, pleads for leniency. He goes, look, I'm an orphan. Scarborough said the slayer statute is not a problem here either. In case you're curious, Georgia has a slayer statute that bars killers from benefiting financially from the death of their victims. And here's the thing. If there wasn't a slayer statute, and most states, I believe, have these, you would just find out that somebody has named you in their will and they're alive and they're not dying fast enough. You might do something to speed that along. So most states say, look, if you're in somebody's will and you kill them, you can't inherit. And it makes complete sense. You don't want to give people a financial incentive to hurry along the deaths of those in their lives. The Daily Report highlights an exchange between Judge Sarah Doyle and Attorney Scarborough. Doyle asked whether Scarborough was saying that MacGyver is entitled to call a lawyer into his jail cell and basically bring an action against himself. Because remember, the guy's in jail. What can you do from jail, you know? And Scarborough replied, quote, he is entitled to bring this action. So that's an example of an attorney who knows, look, he's painted into a corner, himself painted into a corner. And so he just says, well, he is entitled to bring the action. And he's arguing a nuance in the law. And he's basically saying, look, the statute says the surviving spouse can bring this action. He's the surviving spouse. And most people would say that's idiotic. It's idiotic. And I think that's kind of what the judges said are going to say here. MacGyver's law license was indeed suspended last year, which raises another problem. He's one of two defendants in a wrongful death case. The other defendant is Danny Jo Carter, the woman who's driving the vehicle when MacGyver shot his wife. He was sitting in the back. The wife was sitting in the front. And the argument in the wrongful death suit against Carter is that she should have called 911 rather than driving the car to the hospital where Dyne MacGyver died. Apparently, they're going to say that they didn't exactly race to the hospital, but they lollygagged their way there or something. Carter testified against MacGyver at the trial last year. MacGyver had maintained that the shooting was an accident. He pulled the trigger while falling asleep. You know, you often sleep in the backseat of an SUV while your wife and another woman are in the front, and you cradle your gun in your lap, which is, you know, obviously the safest thing to do with a loaded gun, especially one that's about to go off. Prosecutors introduced evidence that MacGyver's income had declined and he was facing financial troubles, except his wife had money. The lawyer who sued on behalf of the estate, Robin Fraser Clark, argued that the wrongful death law and the Slayer's statute should be considered together. The wrongful death suit must be litigated as if MacGyver died before his wife. Because, of course, when you go to jail, as we talked about before, or you get imprisoned by the state, that often changes your legal status. We've all heard that some people can't vote while they're in prison. We've mentioned that in Rhode Island, you can be declared dead if you're in prison. Is that Rhode Island? I think so. And of course, here they're saying that, you know, this guy went to jail. He lost his rights to be the attorney because, number one, he's been disbarred or suspended. But number two, just a weird situation. MacGyver was convicted in April of 2018 of felony murder, aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, possession of a firearm in the commission of a felony, and influencing a witness. I'm assuming they mean unduly influencing witness. He was sentenced to life in prison in May of 2018. So the man's 77 years old. He's in prison for life. Might not be that long of a time. But he doesn't like the idea of apparently being sued. So he's asking if he can represent the estate in its lawsuit against himself. And yeah, it's a mind bender, as we say, except it's idiotic. And this is the kind of a case where, you know, I've mentioned before, I wouldn't want to be a judge. And I've mentioned that. And trial court judges, you've got to put up with so much nonsense. They have to handle different kinds of cases. And you got to, you know, I'm not saying that I couldn't do the work. I would not enjoy it. I would not enjoy it. And so trial work is different than being an appellate judge. An appellate judge literally reads briefs, and then the parties come in and argue in this oral argument. And then afterwards, the judges get together and go, who do you think should win? And they hold a vote. And if it's a court of appeals panel of three, you know, two votes go one way, they win. If it's a state Supreme Court with seven justices, you know, a four vote would win. And of course, the U.S. Supreme Court's nine, you get five votes, you win. But the thing about it is that you're not under the same stresses and pressures you are under doing trial work. Because in trial work, you know, you literally got long days. And if there's a trial going on, you got to, you know, stay mentally sharp, handling issues of evidence and criminal law or civil procedure. And there's a lot of work to be done. And it's a different kind of mindset. And, you know, doing appellate work, I've filed appeals and argued appeals before many times. And it's a different thing. And don't get me wrong, when you get in front of the Court of Appeals to make an argument, you can get keyed up. You can spend a lot of time preparing. You can file a brief that's that thick. In fact, I've got one. I'll show it to you in a future episode. But the thing about it is that it's different from the bench viewpoint on this. And the bench, you know, they might hear a bunch of cases and have to, you know, rule on a bunch of things and read a bunch of briefs. And don't get me wrong, it's probably tedious work, but it's not the same mindset. I don't think it's quite the same. So here's the thing. If I was on a court of appeals, like if you said, Steve, what's your choice? Would you be a trial judge or an appellate judge? I'd rather be the appellate judge. I'd rather read and have some discussions and some debates, and then pick a winner, draft opinions, and issue the opinions, and hope it made good law. But here's the thing. If I was on an appellate panel, and someone appeared before me and said with a straight face, I want to get a ruling from this court that my client, who is convicted of murdering his wife, my client should have the right, even though he's been disbarred as an attorney, should have the right to represent the estate of the woman he killed in its lawsuit against him. There are so many things wrong with that. I'd have a hard time not just screaming at them and saying, get out of my courtroom. You can't do that, of course. It's considered undignified. But how can you do that? And all I can think is, The guy who's in prison must have some money. He couldn't be as broke as we thought. Because this is such a loser of a case. I haven't seen a case this big of a loser in a long time. Now, with my luck, they're going to say, hey, you know, statute's written the way it's written. Too bad. The statute's bad. But again, this is one where you look at it and go, the statute could not possibly be intended to come to this weird result. So again, I'm not a judge. I wouldn't enjoy being a judge. And being a judge in trial work, yeah, a lot of work and a lot of different cases, and I don't think I'd enjoy that at all. But I would enjoy appellate work more, except on the occasions where people would bring these idiotic appeals like this. And this is an idiotic appeal. I don't care. There's absolutely no justification. It's impossible to, with a straight face, say, oh no, this is a good argument. The man who killed his wife, who's no longer an attorney, should be allowed to represent that estate in his lawsuit against him. It's absurd. It's beyond absurd. So again, like I said, it's one of the reasons people don't like attorneys. I admit that things like this give us all a bad name. I hope the Court of Appeals, you know, kicks them back down to where they belong. And if they dare take that to the Supreme Court of Georgia, I hope they kick it down. So we'll follow this as best we can, and we'll see where it goes. By the way, got to thank my friends at United Speed World of Tampa, Florida. You know, I've mentioned before that I wear a double XL, and these t-shirts just appear. And, you know, I wear them. I've got a huge collection of them. And once in a while, someone will ask me, say, Steve, how many t-shirts have you got now? And well, one reason I don't say is that the number changes. I got four more today. Not counting this one. This one came yesterday. So I'm going to do a video just on my t-shirts one of these days. I assure you it will be interesting. But meanwhile, United Speed World of Tampa, Florida, if you need engine work done on a hot rod, I looked at their website just to make sure that it wasn't a place selling the wrong kind of speed. They make great shirts. Fits real nice. So otherwise, back to the story in Georgia. Questions or comments, put them below. Talk to you later.